In the name of the Son of God and Son of Mary, dear rejoicing Christians, if you were to go searching for pictures of Christmas on the internet with just a general search, I think you'd be a bit disappointed. You would see plenty of scenes of little towns fast fading from memory. Plenty of idyllic scenes of Santa. Maybe a few Christmas trees. I know Charlie Brown was there. There's the Grinch that stole Christmas. And just in case you thought you could get away from politics on Christmas, there's the scowling face of a popular president who supposedly ruined Christmas with his face. But Christmas, can we not just go and see the message? What is there? Lots of invitation to Hallmark movies. That should get you to Christmas, shouldn't it? Lots of TV specials from long time ago and from more recently. Maybe there's Christmas in those specials. What is really striking more than anything else, if you know what Christmas is actually about, is how hard some are working to make sure that the Christ of Christmas just is not there. It used to be a matter of neglect. It seems more and more like a matter of hard hearts. Unless you have a picture like the one on the worship folder and a helpful credit on the inside cover of the worship folder to tell you where to search, and you might find a beautiful classic from the 17th century, this from Noel Coypel, The Nativity. And if you look closely, there's Joseph, there's Mary, there's the baby Jesus. And above, I'm reminded as I see the angels peeking in to the manger scene, what Peter said in his first epistle, even angels long to look into these things. And so do we. And we can thank the Lord at times like this when there's been so much hardness against Christmas that he gathers us together this evening to kneel there at that manger bed and see our Lord and Savior in real time coming into this world to be the real Savior of real people like us. Apparently, Luke did not want to get away from politics for Christmas, and I wonder what kind of pictures or cartoons they would have come up with for Caesar Augustus. Emperor, far away in Rome. He doesn't much care what's going on in the backwaters of Galilee in that troublesome spot of Judea and the nation around it. He's doing what rulers do. He wants a head count, and he'd like a little coin from every man. So he issues a decree that all the world should be taxed. It was the then known world. Everybody who was anybody, the Romans thought, was part of the Roman Empire. Everybody else was a barbarian on the outside to them. Caesar Augustus issued a decree so that as a ruler, he could just fill the coffers of his kingdom, his empire. Caesar Augustus didn't have a clue that God was in charge. This is one of those times I bring my hard heart to the manger. Those times when there is that arrogant pride in me that wants to be in charge of my life and determine when and how and why and what. And I'm reminded that not even an emperor who had absolute power over life and death could decide even a taxation, even a census, without falling into the hand of the Almighty who was directing his ways. Caesar Augustus couldn't care less about what happened to the poor people when he issued a decree that everyone had to go back to his hometown to register. They didn't send out census takers that you could just be in your house. No. Didn't matter how far you had it. Poor carpenter in Nazareth. Let him go. Back to his ancestral home to the south in Bethlehem. Wife expecting? Close to birth? Too bad. Let them deal with it. Just a donkey? Rough paths, rocky, dusty roads. Shouldn't even be called roads. And those paths so crowded with other subjects of the empire who had to find their way back to their ancestral homes. Caesar didn't care. Didn't even cross his mind that that little tiny town of Bethlehem, so close to Jerusalem, who would think of that? And who would care if there were so many people in town that there wasn't a single place left for this poor couple with the baby about to be born, except a stable, stinky with manure and animals? There would be no good news of Christmas for Caesar Augustus. Caesar Augustus couldn't get it. But when you know why we come to Bethlehem and look into that manger, you realize how much love is there in the manger for you. And realizing that, come what may, you have good news for Christmas. It's not the TV specials and all that the world around us wants to come up with. All the singing of songs that you thought you used to know until some new vocalist wants to jazz it up and make it sound different, and you always wonder, was that an improvement? But everybody has their little part to play in Christmas. Where's the Christ? And how long was God thinking about this? And why was this decree issued so that Joseph would go up from Galilee? You have to look at a map and look at a little history here to really realize how long God was working to bring good news of Christmas to you. This night and every Christmas before and after, till he comes again in glory to judge the living and the dead as he has promised, the Savior of the world, the judge of all. God was planning Christmas. We heard from Micah, it was actually Micah 5 verse 2, that the place would be Bethlehem. So he had to be born in Bethlehem. You know, there are religious books out there. Everybody says all religions are the same. It's such a crock. There are so many religious books out there, and none of them can predict. None of them can give prophecy. And the Lord in the Bible overwhelms us with prophecies, so direct and so specific and so ridiculous on their face that nobody could make this up. You heard that the stump of Jesse would grow. Well, Jesse was the father of David, and David was the king 1,000 years before this. And David had been told also that he would have an offspring, the line of the Savior, also through David, 1,000 years later, down to great David's greater son. It had to be in the town of Bethlehem. So, I mean, you have to ask, and it's okay. Why wouldn't the Lord just have Mary and Joseph live in Bethlehem, since he can foretell the future? He's guiding and governing even the empires. Why not just have them live in Bethlehem so they don't have to make this terrible trip to Christmas Eve in such squalor? Why Nazareth? We have to guess a little bit why those Judeans from the tribe of Judah in the south were up north in Galilee. They were out of their territory. There is an educated guess, but you can take it or leave it. It is just a guess that after the Babylonian captivity, when they came back 536 BC, that there were certain Judeans that maybe couldn't find room or place in the south, so they went up to Galilee and settled up there in Nazareth. That was Jesus' family. That was his clan. Those were his relatives from the tribe of Judah. There was a prophecy Apparently all the Jews knew it, that a prophet had spoken. It's not written in the Holy Scriptures of the Bible, but it said, he will be called a Nazarene. The Messiah would be called a Nazarene. How do you get Bethlehem and Nazareth together? Could you notice, my dear friends, that no one would think of that? No one would put those towns together. No one would come up with such a ridiculous, impossible scenario. And if you were looking at that as a devout child of God studying the Holy Scriptures, you'd have no way to figure out how to reconcile Nazareth and Bethlehem until you come as we do. And we kneel at the manger and we hear these prophecies again and we realize God could use an emperor to make it happen that they came out of Nazareth and traveled to Bethlehem for the Savior to be born in the place that God had designated, from the family of David as God had designated. And the stepfather Joseph and the Virgin Mary and all those miracles that came to pass. There are so many miracles involved with Christmas that are so far beyond anything that Hollywood can picture or that writers can put in novels or poems. They have to be in our hymns. They have to be in our songs of Christmas. They have to be in your heart. God wants the brokenhearted. He wants those who realize that the harder we try to avoid the Christ of Christmas, the more strife and trouble come into the world around us. The more frustrating it is that this year at Christmas, there are those who are telling you, you really ought to try to be selfish. They're advertising that it's more fun to be naughty than nice. And the strife grows, the anger increases, there is more hatred in our nation and among our people, in our homes and families, more guilt on hearts, more sin that goes unconfessed, less and less of the mercy and grace and kindness of God that was born there in the manger. He made it an impossible prophecy in order for you and I to know that, as the angel Gabriel said to Mary, all things are possible with God, even the birth of the Son of God through the virgin womb of Mary. All things are possible with God. Nothing is beyond him. He wanted you and me to look at something that was impossible that God brought about so that you could be absolutely sure that God wants you at the manger, that there still is room for you. He sent the angel, as we heard, to the lowly shepherds. Not to the princes, not to the kings, not even to Emperor Caesar Augustus, but to the lowly shepherds, so that you and I could come in lowly hearts and minds and here freely confess our sins and receive from him the absolute and full free forgiveness, not just of slavery in this world, not just from oppression here, not just for justice before man, but God's justice on our side in Jesus Christ our Lord, so that in him we would have the righteousness that God demands, in him, through Christ, an open way to heaven. Nothing happens by accident, especially not in the Christmas story. God wanted to write some good news of great joy that will be for all people. So who do you know that's hurting? Who do you know that hasn't heard the story or maybe doesn't even want to know it? Thank God tonight again that you know that you've heard and that by God's grace you can take it to heart. And when you think of someone or people around you, kneel for a moment at the manger and see God's great love for them too. And say a prayer and go and tell good news of Christmas. Tidings of great joy. Amen.